Scripture reading this morning will be from Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones will stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the streets are shut, as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will rise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of a song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of tares on the road, and almond trees blossom, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street.
I'd like to welcome everyone as well this morning. I'd like to begin by asking you, how's your memory? What types of things do you easily recall? What types of things can you remember? It may be birthdays, your own birthday, hopefully. Maybe your telephone number, your cell phone number, maybe your work number. Now it's email addresses and other things that we keep in our minds. Hopefully our anniversaries we can remember as well. Events that take place, you know, who won the national championship last year and the year before and the year before, or the U.S. Open. I mean, there's a numbers of things that, these events that take place that we tend to remember. Perhaps they're events that were important to us. Or maybe they're just things that are repetitive, and because we do them over and over and over again, they're easy for us to recall. But I think sometimes we have to be reminded about things, even trivial sorts of things. Did you happen to brush your teeth this morning, or did you sort of forget? Did you arrive in class? Maybe an exam is going to take place today that you forgot about. Maybe you had an appointment this afternoon and it slipped your mind. Did you remind you as you're walking out of the house, do you have your Bible with you? Do you have your lesson book with you? Things that we had in our mind, we probably maybe even had in our hand at one time before we walked out the door, and sometimes we can just tend to get sidetracked. Maybe we're absent-minded, or maybe we lose our focus and we tend to forget. I can't tell you how many times over the past couple of years I'll pack my gym bag before I leave early in the morning, and I'll even make a lunch, put it in the refrigerator. And as I'm heading out that morning, I'll even get that lunch out of the refrigerator and set it on the counter and then turn and do something else and then walk out and leave it sitting on the counter. I had it planned. I wanted to take a lunch tomorrow. It was ready to go, and I just lost focus as I was leaving the door. Or perhaps even in that preparation the night before, getting everything together, but then you get ready for work at the gym and you forget you don't have any dress socks. So you get to go the rest of the day with sort of white ankle socks and dress pants. Luckily, I didn't have a meeting with anyone that day, but has a tendency to sometimes happen, and sadly enough, it hasn't happened just once. We have on this table in front of us an inscription that says, "This do in remembrance of me." Jesus asked us, as he instituted that Lord's Supper in Luke 22, to do that in remembrance of him. We do that not only because it was a command, because we tend to be forgetful. And this morning what I'd like for us to do is sort of look at the history of God's people, because history is not on our side when it comes to remembering the things that God wants us to do. And what I'd like to do is pose a question to you. Do we truly fail to remember God? Can we actually forget everything that He has done for us? When we're tempted and when we give in to that temptation, did we truly forget what God's done for us? Did we truly forget that He sacrificed His Son for us? Or did we just fail to consider Him when we made that decision? And so, like I said, I'd like to share with you some of the history of God's people that hopefully we might be able to learn that we should consider Him more often. If you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And as I read these section of verses here, I'm going to read 1 through 6 to begin with, and at the end of the lesson we'll come back here. But this is a commandment to the children of Israel to remember their God. Consider all of the things that He has done for them up to this time. And as we read about these things that God did for physical Israel, try to make that connection between what He has done for us as a spiritual Israel. Starting in verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land the Lord has sworn to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that your Lord, your God, has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you, and He let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, your feet did not swell those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man's disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep His commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. So when we make that comparison to spiritual Israel, we too should be careful that possession of that land that is in the future for us, that land of heaven. Remember the whole way as He humbles us, as He tests us, whether or not we're going to keep His commandments or not. Because just as the children of Israel didn't physically live by bread alone, we too don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let us keep the commandments of the Lord by walking in His ways and fearing Him. So I'd like to show you some examples of how perhaps people fail to consider God. It doesn't take very long for a man to forget God or fail to consider Him. We can start at the beginning. If we look in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 1 of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Eve had not forgotten God. In fact, her responses to the serpent were that God said to not eat of that tree. She remembered God, but she was deceived. And she failed to consider what going against God's words would mean. And she failed to consider it as she ate of the tree and gave to her husband. The next example is in Exodus, the 14th chapter. And again, we could have a day full of these examples. I've just picked a few for us. Exodus 14, this is at the crossing of the Red Sea. Exodus 14, starting in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." This is a nation of people that had been in Egyptian bondage and had just witnessed the 10 plagues and how God had struck against Egypt. But yet they find themselves between the Red Sea and the Egyptians coming upon them, and they lose faith and they fail to consider that God had allowed them to escape from Egypt and fail to consider that God would allow them to escape there at the Red Sea. This goes on if you look in Exodus 16th chapter. Starting in verse 1. And so they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we have died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, which we ate with bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they shall bring in, and it shall be twice as much as their daily gathering." And then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" And also Moses said that this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the morning, and in the morning bread in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Again, as the children of Israel complain, they fail to consider that God will provide for them. course, this goes on and on. We can look in Exodus 32. Again, at this time, Moses is up receiving the law. And this is going to be the scene with the golden calf or the molten calf. Exodus 32 and starting in verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed from coming down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods who will serve, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears, of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of the gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it in with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of this land of Egypt. This is a group of people who were brought out of Egypt. They fashion a golden calf and attribute that honor to a golden calf. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, Go down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way in which I had commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land. So quickly they forget who was behind and who was in control. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I will consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. Of course, if we read on, we know that Moses pled with God, and God relented from that judgment. Another instance, if we turn over to the book of Judges, we see that the children of Israel, again, as a nation, fail to consider him. We look at Judges, the second chapter. Another interesting thing to point out here in Judges, we see that as we continue to fail to consider him, that perhaps after this is done long enough, that we truly will fail to remember God at all. And we're going to see that this happens to the nation. Judges, the second chapter, starting in verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years old. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all the generations who were gathered to their fathers, and then there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. So as we fail to consider God in our daily walk, if we fail to consider him as we raise our children, eventually this will happen to us. That we will raise a generation who does not know the Lord, raise a generation who do not know what God has done for his people. Look back at starting in verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They served the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt when they they went after the other gods and among the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord, they served the Baals and the Asheroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to the plunderers and those who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, that they could no longer withstand their enemies. If you know anything about the book of Judges, that this is a cycle of sin that we're going to see happens to the nation of Israel. This continually happens, and the Lord relents, rises up a judge, and provides that appeasement for that particular time, but then they fall right back into that sin again. They fail to consider God and consider all of what God has done for them. So aside from the nations, people can be in the in the same way. Individuals can fail to consider God. If we turn back over into Exodus, if we look at Moses, Exodus 17, there's two very similar events that take place when the people are murmuring against him and Aaron, and they need water. And so in Exodus 17, this is the first instance this happens. Exodus 17, starting in verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on the wilderness of Sin by the stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me, and why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Hobron, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Meshech and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" A people that were brought out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, but yet so quickly they fail to consider what God can provide for them. The second instance, similar to this, is in Numbers, the 20th chapter. Again, the people are quarreling with Moses. And this is where Moses perhaps lets the quarreling and to sort of get the better of his judgment, and where perhaps he fails to consider what God has asked him to do. Numbers 20, starting in verse 3. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "What would we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? Why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place for grains or figs? It is no place for grains or figs or vines or pomegranates. There is no water to drink." And then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their face, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before the eyes to yield its water. So you will bring water out of the rock for them and give them drink to the congregation and their cattle." So Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he had commanded them. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with the staff, with his staff, twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. Verse 12 tells us, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you do not believe in me and uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them.'" After all that Moses had gone through, after the conversation that God had directed him to speak to the rock, he fails to consider the consequences of that action. Fails to consider the words of God. And we can go on. We can look at King David, a man after God's own heart, failing to consider what taking that action, the sin with Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah the Hittite, has to be reminded by Nathan, the prophet, that it was him that had done these things. Again, this can not only affect nations of people, but individuals as well. And let's look at an example in the New Testament. Turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Of course, this is the parable of the rich man. Luke 12, starting in verse 16. Jesus speaking here, he says, "He told them a parable, saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plenty. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns. I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Sometimes we can lose our focus on what's important in this life. We can be consumed by the desires of this life, instead of considering the things that we should be doing and building up those treasures for ourselves in heaven. Failing to consider him, all that he has done for us, can eventually lead to us forgetting God altogether. So I'd like for you, if you would turn back to where we began this morning in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And I'd like to pick up in verse 11. And again, as we consider these verses, consider where we, as we read about physical Israel, consider ourselves as that spiritual Israel. Starting in verse 11. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and you are full and you have built good houses and you live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of this land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents, scorpions, and the thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of that flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hands have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. This morning, if you have failed to consider him in this walk, in this journey that we're taking together, or if you have failed to remember your God at all, this morning we offer an invitation for anyone who is subject. We ask you now to come forward as we stand and sing.